on a birthday, and most importantly, it also marks a 3 decades of following Jesus. Oh, and that's how much Jesus really means to me. And it's my prayer that we all do the same thing. We all do the same thing. We all find time to celebrate Jesus. My encounter with Jesus, July 4th, 1988, 6 p.m. All right, amen. 6 p.m. Jesus brought a dramatic change into my life. So much so that there was just so much difference in the life between the life I now live and the life I lived thereafter, compared to the life that I lived before, that I chose to ignore my natural birthday. So the day I got born again has since then become the birthday I celebrate. I think there are only seven people in the world, who will say happy birthday on my natural birthday, and that's my dad and the seven other siblings. All right, praise the Lord. It's very important to me. So this is a very, very special. So it's my Thanksgiving service, and if you've come to church today because of that, thank you so much. But please come to church because of Jesus. All right, praise the Lord. And I want to use this opportunity to challenge you, to challenge us as a people, and to challenge us to take our salvation very seriously, to challenge us to take our faith serious. Okay, and that's my message to you. I want you to make a decision. The decision 30 years ago, when I made that decision to walk into a church, not just take an altar call like most people do, but actually follow through. Come on, tell your neighbor, follow through. No, tap them, say, for you to follow through. Because anybody can take an altar call, you see. Anybody can take an altar call. Anybody can walk forward and say, yeah, and just confess nonsense. Anybody can say that. It's not what you say when you come forward. It's what you do thereafter. You see? So I want to challenge you to follow through with your faith. I want to challenge you to make Jesus the centerpiece of your life. And that is what I've done passionately for the past 30 years. For the past 30 years, I didn't come into faith to sample it out. I didn't come into faith because of anybody. I didn't come into faith because I was looking for something. I came into faith because I had an encounter with Jesus. There's just something about that invitation that resonated with my spirit. And I told myself, you know what? I am going to decide today. I was not under duress. I was not forced. I was not cajoled. And I was not promised anything. Right? And that's called an encounter. I want to challenge you to hear today that if you are not a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, I want to challenge you to accept Jesus. Not just by confession. I mean by encounter. I want to challenge you to accept Jesus. I want to say categorically that Christ has made a remarkable difference in my life. My walk with Christ has produced results that my friends who are not saved only dream about them. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's a huge challenge. And so the problem is that the body of Christ today is so beautiful and so attractive that you can just go with the flow. You can, the fact that you are born in the garage doesn't make you a car. If you see what I mean. And so it's possible for you to be here today under the sound of my voice. You've hung around Christians for so long, you actually think that you are a Christian. No, you are not. You may not know it, but Jesus knows it, and the devil does. And so that's not even a good place to be. So I want to challenge you. If you say, well, my salvation was a gradual one, you know. That is, so in other words, you metamorphosed into Christianity. That won't cut it either. No one has an encounter with my Lord and be gradual about it. No one. Salvation is different from dropping a habit. You gradually drop a habit. You don't gradually have an encounter with Jesus. You gradually drop a habit. You gradually stop smoking. Now listen, hey, we're not talking about morals here. Salvation and morals are two different things. It is possible for you not to smoke, not to drink, not to do any of those, not to have any vice, like they say, and still not be a Christian. So when we're talking about habits, you know what? Six weeks ago I was on 2 packs. Now I'm on 1 pack. Congratulations. I'm making progress. That's what you do when you are dropping a habit. Do you understand? I watched 6 pornographic movies last week. Today I'm down to 1. Congratulations. Bravo, mate. Bravo. Well done. That's not the same thing as salvation. It's not. Right? So last week I stole 3 pencils. Today my goodness, I'm still thinking about stealing the first one. So, you need to understand that I'm making movement here. That's what you do when you are dropping habits. That's not the same thing as salvation. There's nothing gradual about having an encounter with Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing gradual about it. Nothing gradual about having an encounter with Jesus. When you have an encounter with Jesus, so is that you have an encounter or you don't have an encounter? There is no in between. I'm talking about the old rugged road right here. I'm talking about the cross right here. You either have an encounter or you don't have an encounter. There's nothing in between, right? You're either contemplating, right? And when you are contemplating, you are not. Well, Pastor, how do you know? Well, because when we squeeze you, we know what comes out. When you are under pressure, we know what comes out. Do you understand? And so, if you are not born again, I want you to really consider. I want you to do yourself this favor. I will love you to come onto this other side, the side of faith where we really, really accept Jesus, not just as God, not just a theological acceptance, but as your Lord and Savior. I mean, total submission to Christ and the Word of God. That's the invitation I'm asking you to make today. That is the evaluation of your heart I am asking you to make today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so if you are not saved, I invite you to. If you are saved, I want you to go all in. I want you to go all in. To be saved means that you are that person who has an encounter, but at one point you want to eat your cake and have it. That's not on. It's not on. You cannot eat your cake and have it. We go all in. I went all in 30 years ago. I went all in. It's either the Lord or nothing. Now, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? To me to be all in means that everything about my life oscillates around the cross. It has nothing to do with being called to a ministry. Nothing. It means everything about my life oscillates around the cross of Jesus. And that's the challenge I want to give to you today. I want everything about your life to evolve and revolve around Jesus, around the cross. That includes your taste, your preferences, your choices, your decisions. Everything. Can you do that? Can you do that? I have walked away from friendships because, not that they are not Christians, they were not hot enough. Enough haven't enough. They were not fervent enough. They were not fervent enough. If you are going to do Christ, do Christ. Go for it. If you're going to do Jesus. Go for it. Because we're not under pressure. We're not under duress. I made three decisions the day I got saved. The first was to love the Lord with all my heart. Can you say the same thing? Can you say the same thing? Love the Lord with all my heart, with all my heart, with sincerity of heart and intent. No crookedness, no shenanigan, no hanky-panky to go for him. Can you do the same thing? Can you? Are there still believers in the house? Are there still Christians in the church? Are there still Jesus people in the church? There are so many religious people, but do we still have Jesus people in the house? People whose hearts are sold out to Christ. That was the first decision I made. I want to give my life to you. I want you to be my Lord. I want to love you with everything I've got, with who I am. I will never make a decision without praying about it. I will never make a decision without consulting about it. I will never make a decision without finding out what God thinks about it. If I'm not sure, I wait for you. Can you do the same thing? That's the challenge I'm offering today. Can you get rid of compromise? Can we get rid of compromise? Can we? Can we just be true to what we say we have subscribed to? Can we? We actually live in a free country. It's actually easier in England to be a Christian, but can you make the commitment? Can you make the commitment? Can you? Can you be genuine with your salvation? Can you? You know what they asked Jesus about John the Baptist? And he gave them a very interesting answer. He said, when you went out to the wilderness, what did you go to seek? And I asked you the same question. When you come into the kingdom, what did you come to seek? What did you come to seek? What are you looking for? What kind of salvation will not affect your choices? What kind of faith does not affect your choices? How can you keep your salvation and still, how can you confess Christ and still keep your old tastes and preferences? What kind of faith is that? Somebody is faking it. What kind of faith is that? What kind of faith does not affect your taste? What kind of faith does not affect your preferences? What kind of faith does not affect your character? What kind of faith is that? That's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. Nobody encounters Christ in Christianity and remains the same. And I'm challenging you today. If you've not had an encounter, take it like you're not saved. And get down on your knees and ask for an encounter. If you don't have an encounter, take it like you're not saved. At best, you will never maximize your salvation. At best, you will never maximize your salvation. At best. You will never even scratch the surface of the potential that faith has for you on this earth. What is that? It's a loss. You won't party, you don't have Christ. What's the point? Even those who don't have Christ, they have insurance. You don't have insurance, you don't have Christ. It's double loss. I want you to examine your heart today. If Jesus does not come first in everything you do, don't tell yourself that you are saved. Someone has been lying to you. If you have not given up your taste and your preferences to grab the cross, don't tell yourself you are saved. Someone lied to you. If it's not costing you anything to oppose your salvation, if it's not costing you anything personal to oppose your salvation, don't tell yourself you are saved, my friend, because you are probably not. You're probably just as best a moral person. But that's not salvation. That's not salvation. Salvation is not quoting the Bible. If you come from a Christian home, you will have been quoting the Bible from the age of two. From the age of two. If your parents were Christians or if your parents were religious, you would have been subscribed to religion from the age of two. If your parents were Christians in quote, or they dragged you, you would have been acquainted with church from the age of two. So how do you call that an encounter? By the time you are 25, you know the ins and outs of the church. You know the ins and outs of the word of God that you have no encounter about. I had A1, A plus in Bible knowledge. I was not saved. I can put theological arguments for you from scriptures, and I wasn't born again. It is law. It's like the Constitution. You read and you interpret it, and you string verses together to justify your action. That's what it is on the letter. So you can do that. You can preach and not be saved. You can start churches and not be saved. You can run a church on organizational development skills and not be saved. You can usher and not be saved. You can sing and not be saved. Don't be fooled. You can sing and not be saved. You can sing and not be spiritual. You can sing and not make the sacrifice required of you as a Christian. It's nothing. It is not a reflection of spirituality, singing. No, even what I'm preaching is not a reflection of spirituality. I could have preached better than most pastors when I was in high school. Because half of them probably don't even read the Bible. So are you born again? Have you had an encounter with Jesus? What are you doing in the kingdom? Why are you here? How did you get started on this journey, my brother and my sister? How did you get started? Mommy brought you in. Daddy brought you in. Your girlfriend brought you in. Your boyfriend brought you in. Or you came looking for a gift. Or you got tired of looking and not getting anything. Why are you here? Is it about time you question your motive? Why are you here? What are you looking for? What am I looking for? I'll tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for Jesus. There's something about reading about someone who dies on a cross, for someone he doesn't know. There's something about it. There's something about being guaranteed eternity. There's something about it. There's something about having a steady course of action, following a plan and a path for your life. Without confusion, there's something about it. So what about you? Let's even agree. Okay, well, wow, why is he talking to us like this? Well, after I'm in church, I shouldn't be the one taking the bashing. The guy on the street who is not here. No. I'm saying that if you are who you say you are, right, we will have fewer left on the street. The problem with placebo Christians is that they look like one, talk like one, behave like one, cluster like one, but they have no power. They have no power. They have no Christ. Do you have Christ? When you are under pressure, who do we see? Do we see Christ or do we see the old you? What version do we have today? What version is in church this morning? What version will be in the car on the way home? What version will be at home on Monday morning? What version of you? Do you understand, church? And so I made up my mind that I was going to follow him. I was going to serve God with all my heart. With all my heart, I was going to serve him. And I was in there, Luke 10:27. I read that. It says, serve the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your heart. So I made the decision. I made a decision that I was going to be true. I was going to serve him. I was going to believe the word of God, and I will serve him with all my heart. I will refuse. I refuse to compromise. I will not compromise. I will choose the cross before my friends. I will choose the cross before my family. I will choose the cross before my parents. I will choose the cross. 30 solid years. I will choose the cross before myself. How often have you heard Christians say, oh, and I feel, and I feel, and I feel, and I feel. But that's what the problem is. You see her feelings. You see her feelings. The Bible says, it says you die to the cross. You die to the cross. It says, and I feel like when you're still alive. Those who follow Jesus, they die to themselves. Are you listening? They die. They die to themselves, and they become alive in Christ. They die to themselves. They die. I feel like, I don't like, I. You can't have I and have Christ. You can't have I and not have and have Christ. No. You know, sometimes I want, sometimes in the Christian circles or and also in the pastor circles, I know people describe me. And I say, oh wow, Pastor Eddie, he's so humble. I'm not humble. I'm just humble. I've just embraced the cross. Humility is not a character. Humility is not a personality. Oh, he's so humble. Oh, he's so humble. Oh, he's so accessible. Oh, well, if you have an encounter, you will be the same. You will be the same. Why are you different then? Why is your story different from mine? Because somebody is lying to somebody. How many of them did he turn back? How many of people did Christ turn back? So what is with the humility? How has humility become an accolade? How has humility become an accolade? If humility is an accolade, then my friend, you don't have Christ. How has what you wear become so important? I'll tell you why. You don't have Jesus. How has what you earn become a subject matter? Because you don't have Christ. How has where you live become a talking point? Because you don't have Christ. How has the restaurant you visit become a talking point? Because you don't have Christ. You don't have. You don't have. You don't have. An encounter. Who is an encounter? Listen very carefully. The church may function in the world and the church are not the same thing. They say, the church has gone worldly and the world has gone churchy. You're talking nonsense. You can't imitate an encounter with Christ. If you have an encounter, you will know there's nothing in this world that can be churchy. There's nothing in this world that can be churchy without Christ. Nothing. That's how people who don't have encounter talk, because they don't know what the real thing is. That was the first decision I made. The second one was this: was to love the house of God. Psalm 69. In verse 9, it talked about David, and I read his character, and he said, the zeal of the Lord's house has consumed me. And I made a decision, and I'm going to love his body unconditionally. I'm going to love his body. It is not because this is the Ghetto Chapel that I love the church. No, I love my former church. I love my former church. I love the people. I've always loved the body because it's part of Christ. Read your Bible. The zeal of the Lord's house has consumed. What consumes you? What consumes you? What consumes you? I tell you what consumes me and what has consumed me for 30 years. The zeal of the Lord's house. What consumes you? What consumes you? Pastor, how do I know what consumes me? Bring out your bill. Bring out your bank statement. Yeah? That's the reflection of your labor. Bring out your bank statement. Let's see what consumes you. Let's see what consumes you. Bring out your bank statement. Let's look at your assets. Let's see what consumes you. Where does it go to? What did you do? Based on the thought decision I made, that my talent, my time, my treasure will serve the Lord. Everything oscillates round the cross. Many years ago, a brother came to me and said, well, you and I were into properties. I said, yeah. And so, and you know, we are very good friends. I said, yes. And I said, well, you know, I tell you what. Why don't you and I join our capital together and then buy properties together and have a joint venture and invest in north of England? I said, no, bro. I know I love you so much, but I won't do it. I said, but why? Why? Is it a good opportunity? I said, yes. I said, but the problem is that I don't own myself. I am somebody paid the price for me to live, and I live in Christ. I said, the day my Lord will ask me, sell out and invest in the kingdom, I said, I don't want to think about you when I'm doing that. I don't want to consult you when I'm doing that. I want God to talk to me by 12 midnight, and by 7 a.m. it's done. Just like God spoke to me on holidays in 2007, and he said, pack it all up, son, and go full time. And I jumped in, not looking back. Jumped in. I said, I trust you with my treasure. I trust you with my talent. I trust you with my time. And I dropped in, and I packed what where the income I was on was mouth watering. It was nice. It gave me the comfort of life, and I shoved it aside. I said, I trust you. Can you do the same thing? Can you do the same thing? If you can't do that same thing, sacrifice at that level, then let's talk about your Jesus. Let's talk about your Jesus. Some can't even forgive their neighbor. Never. Some still carry yesterday's hurt. Like they never hurt Jesus before they got saved. Okay, and they say they are Christians. Is that Jesus to you? How is that Jesus? Some walk past those in need. Do you understand? Some have shoes in their work cupboard that when sold, right, can write off the bill of some African countries. Some are more concerned about what they're going to wear to church today than how God will speak to them. And you say, you have Jesus? You don't have Jesus. What do you have? You don't know what you have. Some look forward to meeting their friends on a Sunday than to pray about the sermon they're going to hear. Some look forward to the dealings they're going to deal in church on Sunday. Wes, don't worry. We will see in church tomorrow. I never pray about the preacher. And then come years, yes. You know, in that church. Yes, in that church. Because you didn't do your job. Because you are the one that came in without Christ. Are you going to be a Christian or not? Are you going to be a believer or not? If you profess to be a Christian and you don't have an encounter, take it from a man who has done it for 30 years. You don't have him. You think you do, but you don't. You don't have it. You don't have it. You can't have an encounter and your speech will not be different. Your friends can't even tell whether you are a believer or not. And you say you have Jesus. You don't have him. You don't have him. We don't have him. You don't. A faith you claim that does not alter who you are. It's no faith. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. Do you understand? I want to leave you with that this morning. To follow through on what you have professed. Amen. Rise to your feet and let us pray.